This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, touchcentral.fm. It's time for us to check in with Anthea Gardner in the Money Shot, everybody's favorite part of the day where we find out about the money. Here she is.
She works hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
All right. How's our money working today, Anthea? What do we need to know?
Morning, Gareth. It's all about the rand again on Friday at about 2:30 in the afternoon. The rand suddenly had a blowout from 14.12 to 14.43 in a heartbeat.
How did that happen so quickly?
Oh, that's what we were all wondering. And there was no news. There was no warning. But apparently all the bond yields and emerging market currencies were blowing out. And I think it's got to do
with... Sorry, that was just a reaction in the stock exchange.
That sounded like my office on Friday.
Is that what happened?
Pretty much, yes. Everyone's shouting, going, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then we all like jump on Bloomberg's and news feeds and go, where, what? And I think all it was...
Everybody went, oh my God, they've arrested Praveen, right?
That's exactly what we did. Oh. Yeah, that's exactly. We all went, who do you know? Find out quickly. Yeah. Call.
Now, do you guys have like a pecking order of... who has the best contact in a situation? And then one of you in the office will run around saying, well, I've got a number for Trevor Manuel, or I've got a number for Praveen, or I've got a number for...
You don't have time to say, I have a number for. You just dial. It's not... nobody cares. Just give me the answer. I don't want to know who you know. Just give me the answer. And what's going to happen and what I must do with it.
You have to have an inside man. Everybody in your world has to, right?
It's really hard to, though. Like, it's not... Yeah, we'd like to all have inside people, but that's not how it goes, unfortunately.
All right.
And really, you know what it was? It was one of the U.S. Fed guys saying that he's looking to raise interest rates. They're looking to raise interest rates. So that's all it was.
And that made a whole bunch of people panic enough to drop the rand that much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's 3%. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Anyway, the weaker rand helped our market a little bit. We were just like 0.2% higher on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Good volume, $1.6 billion traded. The other thing that freaked me out on Friday, because you asked for about MediClinic. Out of the blue, you asked about it on Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And as I put down the phone to you, they put out a trading statement. I was about to phone you and go, what do you know? What should I know?
You see, sometimes I just, I'm like one of those broken clocks. You still write twice a day.
Yeah. All right. So MediClinic's trading statement, they've made significant progress in integrating the businesses, which is exactly what we were talking about on Friday. And they really are talking about the fact that they've created this preeminent healthcare business in the Middle East. They're all very excited about it. The share was up 2.5% on Friday. And then I looked at it since listening because, you know, in February, they did this JV with the Dubai-based Al Noor hospital business. And then they rebranded and they listed on the LSE and they changed the ticker on the JSE. So since February, since that happened, the share on the LSE is up 8.5%. So on the London Stock Exchange, it's almost 9% higher. But on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, it's down 5%, the share. And that is pure currency. Because in that period, the rand has gone from 15.12 to 14.40, call it.
All right.
So the stronger rand definitely does not help. I mean, one of the concerns with MediClinic Middle East is that they're saying they're only going to deliver mid-single-digit revenue growth, which is not great, you know. But I do think, as I said on Friday, it's about giving them time to consolidate the businesses and extract value. And generally with these businesses, they are, well, with this one particularly, they are more heavily weighted into the second half of the year. So maybe we'll see better turnover in the second half of the year.
Right.
And then we've had lots of financial companies reporting last week, Discovery being one of them. And this is an odd one because new business is up 22%, operating profit up 11%. But the number we look at, the normalized headline earnings per share, up only 1%. And so you have to ask yourself about what's going on in this business and how we look at it and whether or not we want to hold this share. And there's a couple of negatives, like the embedded value has gone down badly, actually missed estimates. And also consumers are trading down. So instead of taking out the premium insurance, they are now taking out slightly cheaper insurance and taking chances on this this margin or this upfront payment, you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also one of the other issues is that they haven't been able to pass through inflationary escalation. So imagine if you had a business and you were paying everything at an inflationary rate. So you were paying your 6 or 6.5% higher wages, rent was higher, your costs were higher, but actually the revenue you were receiving wasn't higher. You'd actually be making a net impacted loss at the end of the day. And that's kind of what's happening to Discovery in South Africa at the moment. And then in the UK, they had higher than expected claims. So all these like real issues, which are very worrying. But if you look at, there's a small line item, well, not a small one, but there's a small, like they don't make too much of it, called Purple Division. And actually that's the banking business in Discovery.
Mm.
They're spending huge amounts. So Adrian Gore has said that the bank, you should be able to open a Discovery bank account in 2018 only. And he's really muscling up. So he's employed some really heavy hitters, some guys from Nedbank, from Barclays, you know, paying top dollar, obviously. They're spending lots of money.
Why would you want to get into banking? Is it because there is so much money to be made? Is it because he doesn't think there's enough competition? Is it because he can offer something the other banks can't? What's the deal?
Well, firstly, I think he's going to leverage off the Discovery card. So the Discovery card he's done particularly well with.
Right.
And in fact, he's upped his stake in the Discovery card. So he's bought some of that stake, or I shouldn't say that. He's subscribed for redeemable preference shares from First Rand on the Discovery card. So he now gets 75% of the profit from Discovery card. Before, he only used to get 20%, because don't forget, First Rand own a big chunk of Discovery card.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's betting that he can take that Discovery client base and translate it into the bank. That's what it is.
All right.
Whether or not he can become the next First Rand is the question. You know, that's the real key. And also, he's doing lots of other things in this financial businesses. So, you know, the Ping An business in China is doing well. And Vitality, he said, is launching now in Hong Kong, Germany, Philippines, and Thailand.
In other words, this is still something we've got to keep a little bit of that in the portfolio.
I think so, yes.
It's probably a good one for growth.
Yeah, so longer term, medium to longer term, maybe not immediately.
All right, but we're okay with that. We've got patience.
We're not all
Gareth Cliff. All right, here's a message, speaking of patience. This is from Queen Keeks, who says, Anthea, when is the portfolio going to be ready? Every day you say it's coming soon. I'm getting so impatient. Just explain how we need to get FSB approval and all that stuff, because people have got to know that their money's safe.
Okay, so we are using a third-party service provider, and we're asking them to develop a product for us. And because of that, there are a couple of kind of technical issues that we need to fix. No problem, we're on it. That's fine. But then we also need to get FSB, so Financial Services Board approval, and we're just waiting for them. And these are the kind of people you can't rush.
No.
Right. So don't forget, Gareth, when you first mentioned it, it was just an idea.
Yeah.
And I think we've gone.
I jumped the gun. You know, the point was I wanted to get everybody excited about this, because there are a lot of people who do have a little bit of cash lying around. They want to know what to do with it. They want to put it into something that they're interested in, that's exciting to be a part of. And we talk about the stock market every day. And we thought, well, you know what? If everybody can afford to get involved in the stock market, this could be a very exciting thing. As little as 100 rand
could
get you involved.
And
but we've got to make sure we do this properly, because we're not going to throw your money around and be irresponsible. And there are certain legalities and certain compliance things that we've got to make sure we tick all the boxes, so that you know when you're investing what you're in for, what the rules are. We're not doing this like a fly-by-night.
No, definitely. This is long term. And I won't launch until it's 100% right.
Exactly. So if you trust me, there's someone responsible at the helm here. Her name is Anthea Gardner. So that's the reason, Queen Keeks, that we're not rushing into this. But I promise you, when it happens, you will be the first to know. And once we press that button, you can get involved. It's going to be amazing.
I honestly don't think we're too far away, though.
No.
So hang on.
All right,
there.
What else, Anthea?
And then the other banks, we had MMI, so the combination of Metropolitan and Momentum. They reported last week, really not great. Full-year profit dropped 25% because of underwriting and investments. But one of the things that they said was that they're doing a JV with MTN. So they're basically going to...
Stay away from that.
Well, you know, I said to you a while ago, we spoke about MTN moving into financial services and how they've got this great footprint in Africa. But hey, somebody's actually picked up on that and taking advantage of it. So they're going to deliver insurance light, in inverted commas, products to through Africa via MTN. I think that's quite clever.
All right.
You're not convinced.
Well, no, I'm just nervous because I don't know about MTN.
Yeah, well. You know what that business is like. You think it's an ex-growth business, and I think you're right.
They've had a tough time.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Here's a question from Supernova. Anthea, why are bank charges so different with each of our banks? Capitec is so cheap. What's that all about?
So they shouldn't be hugely different. There are differences and different services. Each bank makes its own. The FSB does regulate it to a point. But yeah, and that's actually why Capitec is growing so quickly, because people realize that the bank charges are so much cheaper and they don't offer full service. So they don't, I don't think they have home loans. Mm. Do Capitec have a credit card? No, they're about to launch their credit card, right? At the end of this year.
Mm. By the way, would you still buy shares in that? It's not an expensive share right now compared to the other banks, and you've always been bullish about them.
Yeah. So the banks are going through quite a difficult time at the moment, Gareth, and I'm going to stay away from Capitec at the moment. You know, I've been looking at the graphs actually and kind of the returns. And since Capitec listed in 2002, they're up 57,000%. Can you actually believe that? I mean, like, how crazy is that number? Whereas the financials index in the last 20 years is up only 205%. And I've got like millions of stats for you. The First Rand in that same period is up only 570%.
Oh, only.
Although, can I just say, looking at the banking sector, that First Rand is probably my bank or my share of choice in that sector.
First Rand, okay.
Yeah, I do like it.
Here's another question. Oh, it's almost related. There's a lot of people want to talk to you, Anthea.
Sure.
This is from Kate. Anthea, is Amway a pyramid scheme? I got approached.
Hell yes.
I got approached three times this weekend to join that rubbish. So stay away.
If you can get in early. Oh, but right. It's too late, I think.
Yeah, stay out of there. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then before we go, just two things I want to mention. So firstly, SAA. I see the finance minister has approved their application as a going concern. So that means they're likely to get their 5 billion rand loan. Because, you know, one of the things that was required was that they have a board. They now have a board. But by the way, they still have not produced financial statements, which is very bizarre, because I think if I didn't produce financial statements at the end of every year, the FSB would take away my license. So how SAA get away with it, I don't know.
Well.
Mm-hmm. And then.
Well, anyone's guess. Maybe there's something special. There's some special relationship going on there.
Maybe.
Who knows how to quantify that?
And then the absolute last thing. Do you remember we spoke about Lewis Stores, the furniture business? I mean, we've been speaking about them for a while, but somebody brought it to my attention last week that Lewis Stores is the second most shorted share in emerging markets, in the entire emerging markets. And that is very sad. What that means is that investors are betting that the share is going to go down. Because they're shorting it, right? Okay. They're not going long the share. They're not buying it. They're selling it.
Oof.
The most shorted share is a Panamanian airline called Copa Holdings, which I know nothing about.
Yes.
But poor Lewis, in the last year, the share is down 37.5%.
Oof. That is horrible.
Yeah.
Not great.
All right, Anthea.
And that's it.
Thank you very much, Anthea Gardner. The Money Shot, Mondays and every other day at about the same time.
This is CliffCentral.com.